In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is a peace. Today's sermon text comes from our Old Testament lesson, from the story of Exodus, the short passage today, only seven verses written thousands of years ago. But these seven verses today reach your hand to the millennia that touches on the shoulder, on the soul, on this Juneteenth weekend, on this Father's Day, on this third Sunday after Pentecost. And they do for us what they did for the people in ancient Israel thousands of years before, freshly freed as slaves of Egypt. They tell us our heritage. They tell us who we are. Who we are is one of the great crimes that ravages the heart of slavery, be it slavery in Egypt, American slavery, anything in between. And slavery that shows this today is that it steals your story. It takes your heritage, it takes all that has gone before you. And the significance of this is often discounted if you never want it. But those who have, know the significance. I went to a friend, not because of the history of slavery, but because of a complicated set of circumstances, would never know his story, his heritage, would never know from which it came. He said, it's not self-pity, and I'll save life. But he said, I grieve that I don't have that story because, as others do, because it would gird me in my life. That's where the Israelites have been. They've been slaves for four centuries. Over, and they've forgotten who they were. Their story has been stolen. All they knew is the Egyptian had told them 400 years. You are worthless slaves of a nameless God. You are worthless slaves of a nameless God. And don't think that doesn't trickle down to your psyche, to your very DNA. And so they've come right out of slavery, and Moses speaks these words to him. Then you were born on the eagle's wings. That's what kept right on. You were there to you up. He gave him good story. And he begins to tell them, in essence, to re-educate them of who they are. I'll pause just for a moment to give the context of the story. Sometime before these seven verses, Moses, he went to Sunday school, remember? He was keeping a flock in Midian from his father-in-law Jethro. And he notices this mount Sinai, also known as Mount Horeb, the same mountain in the Old Testament. And there's a bush that's burning but never consumed. He's curious, and he's drawn to it. He goes, and lo and behold, he encounters Yahweh. You have the famous story when Yahweh just takes off his shoes on the holy ground. I this is Carlton Heston, and stuff will be available. And Yahweh says to him, Moses, I have heard the prayers of my people for four centuries. I know their cries, and you are going to be the way I will answer their prayers. You will be my hands and feet. You will go to Pharaoh, and you will say to Pharaoh, Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses argued a little bit, and God won out. He took Aaron, he took this great staff to do a lot of things. He took the promises of God, he was fortified, he was pumped. And he went to Pharaoh and said, Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, no. Not just no, but no, no, in heaven. And we have seen the story of the great plague, the crickets, the grasshoppers, the Nile turning red, coming into the country to break the will of Pharaoh and let God's people go from slavery. It wasn't until the 10th plague, it finally broke the will of Pharaoh. The angel of death coming into the land of Egypt to kill the firstborn of all living things. And Moses quickly and hurriedly had to save the Israelites, take an unblemished lamb, sacrifice the lamb, place the blood on the doorpost. And then, lo and behold, the angel of death came into the land of Egypt. It recognized the houses of the Israelite slaves, and it passed over them. And thus, the miracle of the Passover has been the central saving event of Jewish history from that day until now. It broke the will of Pharaoh. He let God's people go. They left, but then he changed his mind and chased them. But God divided the Red Sea, brought them to the desert, gave them water, gave them food, and so the seven verses today. And that's where we come to the story. It took place in the wilderness of Sinai. which simply means the land surrounding Sinai, Mount Horeb, which to say wilderness meant or communicated that it was not friendly to human needs regarding water and food, so they were wholly dependent upon Yahweh. And Yahweh tells them and gives them a covenant and begins to tell them who they are, given back to the source. You are my precious own possession. I am your God. You will be mine forever. And he gives us what is known as a covenant. So what the difference between a covenant and a deal? A deal is once I break, it's gone. It goes broken. A covenant remains no matter what. There were definite requirements. You must obey me, you must do this, this, and this. But a covenant will never be broken. You are mine forever. That's what baptism is. It's a covenant. We say to a child or adult, whatever you do to make God happy or mad, you are his own forever. And that's what Paul the Israelite slaves. They began to know for the first time their story. There's a little humor in the story because they said, we will obey everything. 10 minutes later, when Moses went to get the Ten Commandments, and they'd be going, I'm going to go to that. And then throughout their history, they went up and down, made the worst choices sometimes. But the covenant changed. And the point of the sermon is this, that God's covenant was not just for the Israelites, it's for you and me today on Juneteenth weekend on Father's Day on the third Sunday after Pentecost. We are his forever. And that relationship will never be broken. But there's a difference between relationship and fellowship. Fellowship can be broken. What's the difference? Have you ever been to a band and have seen the plexiglass window between you and the tower? Or you go up to some window and a rock is hit or maybe a board or something and it's just all messed up, but it's still there. It's just that you can't, it's a story, you can't see through it. I think that's something like the fellowship sometimes. The relationship will never end, but the fellowship with God sometimes when we make bad choices, when Israel made the golden calf and they went the wrong way, their fellowship became distorted and difficult and cloudy. And often they would have to repent and go through various ways of sometimes even loving punishment, challenges, come back into fellowship with a relationship today. And that is the story, not just of ancient Israel, but of us today. And after that end of the story, that iterates the very meaning of these 7 ancient verses. A true story, but told in a time before cell phones, before email. A young man grew up, a young boy, I guess, in his family home, a Christian home, a good home. But somehow, he made bad choices. He fell into bad company. He fell into addiction. He fell into everything that just did destruction to his soul. And the relationship held, the fellowship with his family just became worse and worse and worse. And finally, he dropped out of school and he just left. And I'm reminded of the story of the prodigal son because he went to a far off mountain country that stayed. And for 2 or 3 years, he lived and felt more and more and more the poverty, addiction, and bad company. I guess they say when you hit bottom, as the cliche is, you look up. And somehow he hit bottom. He began to pull his life together as best he could. And he wanted to go home. But was there a home? And so he wrote his family a letter. Back then he wrote letters. And he said, I want to come home, but I understand I can't. On this day, I'm going to take a bus and we'll come into the town. And then I'll get off and we'll walk by the house. And if I can come back, just put a lamp in the window next to the front door. That window faces the sun. And I know I can come in. And if it's not there, I'll keep on going. He was nervous and he searched for the pennies he had. He got the bus. He got to this town in the Midwest. He got out, he started walking, he went to turn the corner to the house. He didn't know what to do. To keep on walking, what would it be? With the light being in that window. And he turned the corner. It was amazing. Every window of the house had a light in it. It was glowing like a Christmas tree. The relationship was still there. And he went in. He worked from that day on. So it's a story of ancient Israel. All those centuries later, through thick and through thin, they're like the story of you and the story of me. We come to Mass, we go through our religious duty, We go through the motions sometimes when we don't even feel like doing it, but motions themselves are holy. We take our mass and read the Bible and pray our prayers and do our service in order to honor the relationship that's never broken, but also to make the fellowship of God more clear, more precious, more sweet, more enjoyable, more transparent. And it comes to a beautiful end. So the story of ancient Israelites is the story of you and me. May these seven ancient verses bless us deeply. Amen.